Welcome back. 25 minutes past 9 o'clock. You're listening to Tonight with me, Lester. The lockdown continues. I am struggling to find the work-life balance, especially when your daytime office is your living room, is your dining room table, and you have kids around. In my case, I have a two-year-old who I have as the worst colleague ever. I must admit, I have been spoiled. In the first phase of lockdown, level 5, I had my mother-in-law staying with us. When it kicked down to level 4, it's not that she had enough, she just didn't expect her to be that long. She headed on back home. So my wife and I, we are colleagues, and we have a manager who is a two-year-old named Zoe. So while we are having a tough, there are other parents who are also struggling as well, particularly parents who have to work with children who have extra needs. Yashmita Bana is a mother who works in tech. She is the CEO of Nika, a company called Nico that deals with IT and tech. We had a chat last week of how she is coping with her children. And she said, well, she actually has a child with Down syndrome who was in a mainstream school. That school has now taken learning to the digital side, the virtual side, online. And she has now decided to take a child out of school, because for a child with Down syndrome, it's just so much harder. Yashmita joins us now on the line from Johannesburg. Yashmita, how are you doing this evening?
I'm so tired, Lester. How are you?
I'm so sorry to even keep you up so late in the evening, but thanks so much for coming on air and sharing your story. I find it quite interesting that you, firstly, as a family, decided to enroll your daughter into a mainstream school, even though she has Down syndrome.
Yes. So, you know, Lester, I say when a child is born, there are no labels attached to that child. Mm. There's no race, there's no color, there's no level of education attached to the child. So society then labels the kid as they grow up. So my husband and I decided that in order for us to give Dia, that's her name, the best possible chance in life, we should treat her just like we treat our sons, who are about 17 and 19 now, and expose her to kids that are, you know, so-called normal. Mm. And it's made a significant difference in her progression as well.
But yeah. During the course of the lockdown, many schools have now gone to online, you know, teaching methods, yeah, as a placeholder till schools reopen. I guess one of the reasons why Dia does so well in a mainstream school is because she has that human connection, that human touch, yeah, that she has either with her teacher or her classmates. And I guess she's not able to have that, you know, in a virtual online environment.
Yes, and I think, I don't think it's specific to kids with special needs, but I think kids in general learn in a very different way. Mm. So, you know, I always say to parents in our situation, what is your definition of normal? Because normal to me would be eating peanut butter with avocado, but it's not normal to you, for instance. So a child with special needs learns very differently. You know, they're either very tactile, which means they need to be feeling stuff, or they're visual, or they're auditory, which means they hear stuff. So we cannot just have one mode of learning for a child like Dia, and which is online learning, because she also gets very bored very quickly because they have very short attention span. So you need to, while you're teaching her, you need to gauge where she is in the lesson. And then if she's starting to get bored, you need to shift to something else. Mm. So online learning doesn't work very well with these kids.
I make, again, these mistakes that in a normative culture, a normative society, we think of people who are so-called not using broad terms, you're not normal or not out of the norm. We mistake them to have, you know, less cognitive ability, and that is not the case, particularly, you know, with people with Down syndrome. You can have Down syndrome and still be academically so much, you know, more in tune academically than what we would call, you know, some normal, you know, children. And is that the case with Dia? She copes quite well in an academic environment in a mainstream school.
She does cope, although, I mean, she turns 8 this year, but she looks like she's 5 still. And academically as well, I would say she's on the level of a 5-year-old. But I think when we do measurement of kids in general, just not kids with special needs, we need to look at the child holistically. Because if I look at my two sons, they look exactly the same, although they're 4 years apart. But one is very sporty and one is into gaming, for instance. And one learns in a group environment and one learns as an individual. So I think it really doesn't matter what your child has. Everybody has a very special way of learning and everybody has a unique skill or a unique talent. So you would find so-called normal kids as well in class that are musical, but not academically in tune. So, you know, when people say your child is struggling in mathematics, give that child extra lessons, but the child excels in music, for instance. In my opinion, you should be giving that kid extra music lessons so that that child becomes like an amazing pianist or something like that, rather than forcing that kid to do extra math lessons, which they're not even good at or they struggle with. So I think as a general society also needs to change and look at the child holistically.
So what are you doing, Yashmita? You know, having a teaching, a homeschooling at home in your own way, taking her out of, you know, a school environment, even though she's not at school, and I'm talking about the online environment. I have many friends who say that they can't... You know, they're educated people. They're people who are professionals, but they say they don't know how to teach. They don't know. They can read to their kids. They can count with their kids, but they don't know if they're doing it in the correct manner. Is that more elevated? Is there more pressure on you, particularly, you know, with a child with extra needs?
It is. You know, I think we put pressure on ourselves, parents with kids that have special needs, because we sometimes feel pressured by society to say, you know, you've got to do a little bit extra for your child. But, you know, that kind of mommy guilt I don't have anymore, because I think you just pass on that pressure to your kid as well. And thankfully, you have to surround yourself with a very good support system. So in my case, I mean, Dia is surrounded by speech therapists and occupational therapists, and also friends that have children with special needs. So in particular, there's a mom called Priya, and her daughter has Down syndrome, and I lean on her a lot for advice. So having a community that you can reach out to, and thankfully, the speech and the OT therapists are now listed as essential services. So we've completely rearranged her schedule so that they can come home on alternate days and work with her. I've even arranged for a young teacher to come home as well and work with her, you know, who has some experience with special needs kids, because I'm not a teacher. I'm an expert at being a mother to Dia, but I'm not an expert in teaching her. So thankfully, I have the means to get these people to come and teach her, but otherwise, I don't think I would have done a good job just by myself.
Speaking to a friend whose child's on the autism spectrum, he's nonverbal, but at the same time, he's also about 6 years old, he noticed that something wasn't right in the start of lockdown. You know, they had this routine of she would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, get things ready, sort of stir him at 5:30, and then even in his autistic state, would know that this is the routine for at least 5 days of the week, and she would then, you know, take him to his ECD facility or his ECD place. But she said that she noticed in him the first week of lockdown, he would get up, he would wake up by himself and expect to go to school. But but at the same time, not being able to verbalize it, and she not knowing if he understands her. Did Dia sort of grasp that things were different? Did you have to explain to her that we're in lockdown, you're not going to school anymore, you're not going to be seeing your friends, and you're going to be spending a lot more time at home with mom, dad, and your brothers and sisters?
Yes. I mean, I think the routine thing is very pronounced with children with autism. Because they thrive on routine. But with Dia, we don't actually have so much of a problem. We've never really had routine as a family. And she's obsessed with Wonder Woman. So her two obsessions are Wonder Woman and dinosaurs at the moment. So we explained to her that there were germs outside in the park. There's germs in the park, and there's germs out in the street and in the shopping malls. And we're giving Wonder Woman a chance to cure these germs. And she believes us. You know, as parents, we lie to our children all the time, you know. And she believes us. But what she is finding very difficult, and children with Down syndrome do sometimes have extreme moods. So they could be very happy at one stage and then throw in a tantrum at another stage. Is that a social interaction? So she does miss her friends. And that is one of the reasons I've had to deregister from school, because there is no way she will keep a mask on all day. And there's also no way she's not going to hug her friend, because she's a hugger. So for me, that was too much of a risk as well to allow her to go back to school. So I think that she does understand. Thankfully, we have a very busy home, because we have two boys as well. So they're constantly busy doing their work or playing or whatever. And so we are lucky that we have other children in the house, and she feels entertained. But there are times during the day, like today was a particularly hard day, which is why I'm saying I'm tired, not because it's late. It was just very hard to have her focus on things that she needed to do, and she was just not in the mood today. So we do have those days. But, yeah, I mean, I think all you can do with these kids, love them. Just love, 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 and lots of understanding. Yeah.
Yashmita Banashi is the CEO of Nikar Technologies. That is a side job. Her main job is being a great mom to her kids, and particularly to Dia. Yashmita, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks
really
so much,
appreciate
Lester.
You coming
Thank
on
you.
Here. At the same time, Karine is a mother of two to Alec and Devan. Karine, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, Lester. I'm well, thanks, and yourself?
Very good. Your kids are on the autism spectrum. We have been trying to reach out to authorities, particularly of just giving them a little bit of time out of the house, you know, to stretch their legs. To what exactly has your call or your plea been to city authorities with regard to your kids getting out a little bit during this time of lockdown?
Well, firstly, I think it's been difficult for many of us. I've got so many friends with kids that has got autism as well. And it's been difficult to reach the correct authorities in order to get them to actually just allow us to take our kids out for walks and take them to the beach or just take them for a drive. So, yeah, basically, we've been doing everything in our power just to try and keep them staying at home, but she can only do so much, and they have been indoors for over 7 weeks now.
I experienced this with my 2-year-old. It's too cold before 8:30 in the morning to go outside for a walk with a 2-year-old, and that 30 minutes that you have left when it's, you know, just a little bit warmer is just not enough. So you can't even take advantage of, you know, the morning exercise period.
No, it's specifically difficult for me. I find my 7-year-old, He's got very odd sleeping patterns, so I find it difficult to get him up early in the morning to take walks. Also, I don't get a lot of sleep at all, so when I do get sleep, I make use of the time to sleep when he's asleep. So usually at 9, we are still down because he sometimes goes to bed at 2 o'clock and he wakes up at 3, 5, any times. And I must just, be ready to do whatever he wants me to do.
And going out is that little bit of relief. What does going outside, do for them?
In the case of, my youngest, he's slow functioning and he's nonverbal, so he can't really express what's happening, what he's feeling or anything of the sort. He loves nature. So whenever I do take him outdoors and things, there's an immediate form of relief. He instantly becomes the lovable child that he is, and he finds ways to communicate with you, even though he can't speak. But automatically you can see how he changes from being aggressive indoors, and when he gets outdoors, he's completely the opposite. He engages with people, and he's very loving. He'll go up to people for hugs, and he'll take them by the hand and things like that. But, it really makes a huge difference for them just to have that time outdoors, even if it's a drive, to town and back. They absolutely appreciate that time out.
Gosh, it's very difficult, explaining to a child, about this very tricky period that we're in, about keeping physical distance and sanitizing and don't touch your face too much. But how do you even do that, with a child who needs special attention and a child, with autism? How have you been coping? I guess your only chance of keeping safe is to keep them indoors 24/7.
That is absolutely correct. Look, we are a big household as well, and I do believe it's been hard on every single family member. And, the only thing that we want as parents of autistic kids or special needs, any special needs as a matter of fact, I feel that people with mental health issues as well, they also need time outdoors. You can't always stay inside. So it does get to you.
Who have you tried reaching out to, Corinne?
I haven't actually reached out to many people. I've been talking to friends of mine who are in the same predicament, and together we've been signing petitions and things, trying to get things to happen, but nothing's been happening.
Okay, Corinne, we are going to try maybe either tomorrow or later in the week to get someone from either the city or the provincial department of health, social development, just to see maybe we can find a way of at least, if not helping, giving you some more information on that can maybe help you through the day. Corinne, thanks so much for your call. Really, really appreciate it. And best of luck with the two boys, Alec and Ivan.